Welcome to Sunday Commentary, a weekly program designed to break open the Sunday Scripture readings. Join us as we listen to God's Word and seek to grow in our love and understanding for the good news in our lives. And now, Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman.
The liturgical scripture readings for the 33rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. A reading from the book of Malachi. Lo, the day is coming, blazing like an oven, when all the proud and all evildoers will be stubble. And the day that is coming will set them on fire, leaving them neither root nor branch, says the Lord of hosts. But for you who fear my name, there will arise the Sun of Justice with its healing rays. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Responsorial Psalm. The Lord comes to rule the earth with justice.
The Lord comes to rule the earth with justice.
Sing praise to the Lord with the harp and melodious song, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Sing joyfully before the King, the Lord.
The Lord comes to rule the earth with justice.
Let the sea and what fills it resound, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands, the mountains shout with them for joy.
The Lord comes to rule the earth with justice.
Before the Lord, for he comes to rule the earth. He will rule the world with justice and the peoples with equity.
The Lord comes to rule the earth with justice. A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Brothers and sisters, you know how one must imitate us. For we did not act in a disorderly way among you, nor did we eat food received free from anyone. On the contrary, in toil and drudgery, night and day we worked, so as not to burden any of you. Not that we do not have the right. Rather, we wanted to present ourselves as a model for you, so that you might imitate us. In fact, when we were with you, we instructed you that if anyone was unwilling to work, neither should that one eat. We hear that some are conducting themselves among you in a disorderly way, by not keeping busy, but minding the business of others. Such people we instruct and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to work quietly and eat their own food. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." Then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? And what sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" He answered, "See that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time has come.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first. But it will not immediately be the end." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky. Before all this happens, however, they will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons, and they will have led you before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead you to giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You will even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Kevin, we are in the middle of November with the 33rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. And I'm looking ahead at the calendar. Our liturgical year is almost up.
It is almost up. You're exactly right. This is, I guess, the last Sunday called Ordinary Time.
Right.
And this week we have two great feast days. The 17th is St. Elizabeth of Hungary. And then on the 21st is the Presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And this is interesting. So think about if you're a parent and you have children, most likely you have prayed for your child before birth. You want them to find their true vocation. You might want to say that you dedicate them, or an outdated word might be called consecrate, your child to a service of love and to charity even before they're born. Well, back in the Jewish days when Jesus was born, some Jewish families did that very overtly and offered actually their children to God in their infancy by the hands of the priests in the temple to be lodged actually in part in apartments belonging to the temple. And then they were raised by the attending priest and Levites in sacred ministry. So it's of ancient tradition that the Blessed Virgin Mary was thus solemnly offered to God in the temple in her infancy. And so that's really what we celebrate as part of that feast day, is just really commemorating Mary's dedication to God from childbirth and how beautiful her life and her example is. So that's on the 21st. Reading about Malachi today, just a little bit of a background. So this roughly is the time frame after the restored temple, but before the time of Ezra. So somewhere in about 450 BC time frame. Malachi means my messenger. And Malachi is a prophet who proclaims God's word to a people who have become self-centered and neglectful of the pure worship of God.
Yeah, and the book of Malachi was written after the rebuilding of the Temple of Jerusalem about 500 years before Christ. And these writings warn the Israelites that they will be held accountable for turning away from God's law, but also remind them that God is faithful and will do all that he can to help them. And this reading from Malachi, though, is trying to remind them to get back on track. And he's talking about how all the evildoers will be stubble on the day that the Lord comes and sets them on fire. So anyway, I need to stop again. I just lost my train of thought.
Sure, hold on a sec.
Beep, beep, beep,
boop, 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 boop. Okay.
Okay, you're going to have to try to piece this together to where it makes sense. So here we have in Malachi a warning that the proud evildoers are going to be left a stubble. And it's part of who we are, part of our salvation history, how this was not long after the Babylonian exile that they had to come back and rebuild Jerusalem, and now they're doing it again. And that's what happens when religious leaders grow apathetic in their duties to God. And when that happens, when religious leaders become lazy and they neglect their duties, that same apathy spills onto the people that they're supposed to be shepherding. And some of that's happened in the church during the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, and the results are apparent today. Millions of adult Catholics never learned the truths of the faith, and they were unable to teach their children a faith that they didn't know themselves, and they drifted away. Now, a lot of them eventually did return, and some try to remain connected by attending Mass every now and then, but they're not fully engaged. But even during times of decline that are brought on by neglect and unfaithful leaders throughout salvation history, there has been a faithful remnant that has remained, the people of God, who remained despite oppression and hardship, and later became a beacon of hope for those wanting to rekindle the faith in their own lives. And recently, there has been a resurgence of a sort among Christians around the world. I know firsthand that there certainly has been an increase among those who are inquiring into the Catholic faith. You know, some who were once baptized Catholic, but they were just never fully initiated. Others who were baptized as Protestants and they want to come into the fullness of the faith, and still there are others who were never baptized. So on that hopeful note, let's focus on the last line of the passage, and it says, "But for those who fear my name, there will arise the Son of Justice with its healing rays."
Yeah, I love the sign of hope there. You mentioned the faithful remnant, the resurgence of interest in the Catholic faith again, because this is so important, because the one truth that we must realize and accept is that we're all going to die.
That's for sure.
That's going to happen. And with death comes judgment. and each person will experience their judgment in one of two very different ways, both which blaze like an oven. In fact, it's probably the same oven. Well, what does an oven do? Well, an oven can purify that which is indestructible, meaning that can refine or purify a precious metal, or an oven can consume and burn that which is destructible, such as stubble. So we see that same oven produce two different things depending on what's in the oven. We also see, as you mentioned, the sun of justice. What does the sun do? The righteous seek the sun for its warmth and its healing rays. But for those who like to hide in the darkness, sun brings sunburn. So know that this day, which blazes like an oven, brings about a definitive state. It will either purify or it will burn. And some are going to look forward to this, and some are going to dread it.
Yeah.
One of two answers.
That's for sure.
That's it. Yep. Well, the second reading today, we see from St. Paul to the Thessalonians.
Yeah, in this letter, St. Paul is addressing a problem with freeloaders that was becoming a big problem in the community of these early Christians. And St. Paul begins by reminding them that when he and his companions spent time in their community, they didn't sit around and expect the community to support them. They did what they could through honest labor to work for their keep.
Yeah, and Paul's letter gives us a beautiful example of that Christian work ethic, not to be the freeloader. I do want to step back and pull out the Catechism, paragraph 2830, where really the summary of that is how God calls us to work and not idleness, but this work must be oriented in trusting that God will provide us our daily bread. And of course, I'm saying this to myself to make sure that, right, in terms of that trust, right, certainly something that I struggle with, but we need to work, but we also need to trust. And there's that balance. So how does Paul provide this example? So I'm going to basically pull out a couple little sound bites of this and then talk about how we need to follow this and how it's a beautiful example of this work ethic. So Paul says, one must imitate us. Paul gives us an example through his actions. And he says, we worked, but our work may look very different depending on our vocation, our age, our ability, or our gifts. And he says he's a model for you. What does he want? He wants orderly lives. Work for your own keep. Mind your own business.
That was funny, right?
Yes. How important that
Sit
is.
Sit down and eat your own food.
That's
right.
But remember that, as you're saying, neither should that one eat. We have to break the cycle of entitlement. Now, people periodically certainly need help, but the government or businesses don't owe you anything if you're not willing to work. So let's take that last line again. Work quietly and eat your own food.
Yep.
How important that is.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, we have a great gospel today, according to Luke today.
All right. Well, and this gospel scene opens with some people having a conversation about the magnificence of the newly rebuilt temple. You know, after the first temple that was built by Solomon was destroyed during the Babylonian overthrow. Well, the new temple took about 50 years to rebuild, and construction began about 20 years after the Israelites were released from their Babylonian captivity. So Jesus is standing close by, listening to all the spectators go on about how the temple was beautiful and all this, and he interrupted the conversation by announcing, "One day, this will all be gone." And then he followed by saying, "Oh, and you're all going to be thrown into jail and persecuted for being my disciples. And to make it even worse, your own neighbors, your friends, and your family members are going to rat you out for being my followers." You know, Jesus was preparing his disciples for what was coming, and the time of his crucifixion wasn't far off. By telling them these things before they happened, it would eventually help the apostles to become so firmly rooted in their faith that they would suffer martyrdom. Well, religious persecution is nothing new, and sadly, Christians are still undergoing persecution today. I read statistics that said 2 out of 5 Christians in Asia undergo persecution, 1 out of 5 in Africa. And worldwide, the ratio is 1 out of 7 Christians who suffer persecution and discrimination for their faith. Even here in the United States, we've seen the dawning of a post-Christian culture. and sadly, decades of apathetic responses from within the walls of our own church. They've contributed to this breakdown. And so what do we do about what's happening here in our own country? There was an article I read published by Catholic Answers on April 25th of 2023, and it points out that the word culture comes from a Latin word that denotes worship. And he goes on to explore, how is it that our modern day culture worships? And this is connected with culture. He points out that today it's common to refer to various denominations of cultures rather than one culture. He gives an example of video culture, video game culture, youth culture, coffee culture, cycling culture, and how we talk about communities in the plural rather than community as unity, right? Suggesting that it's because of this mindset that there has been an increase of animosity and violence between groups of differing worldviews. The article continues to suggest that there is only one solution, and that is to re-Christianize our pagan society. And to do that, we must do it unapologetically, to stop having conversations that suggest or affirm that Christianity is just one option among many, that Christianity is just one of the cultures or communities to choose if it feels right, and that we should always be mindful of the power of words. The church is for everyone. It is Catholic, universal, and its culture is also universal.
Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman, produced at the studios of Mater Dei Radio. For more information about this show, go to materdeiradio.com. That's materdeiradio.com.